My brothers and sisters in Christ, how do we come to know people? Isn't it by being with them and seeing how they act and hearing how they speak? Even though other human beings remain mysteries that we can never fully understand, still, their way of being reveals to us something of their inner self. If not the clear image, a transparent glass, at least the cloudy image that comes through translucent or strongly tinted glass. If a person is consistently kind toward others, we begin to recognize the outer kindness reflects an aspect of that person's inner self. The person acts in a kind way because through self-discipline and respect, perhaps affection for other human beings, that person is kind. So it comes from within. We begin to sense that. I speak of this as a way to grasp something of the great mystery of the Holy Trinity, which we focus on in today's Mass. The Jews got it right. My opinion of that is they're ex-slaves. They didn't have money to pay all these sacrifices in a bunch of temples and have lots of gods. They could only afford one. But they did get it right. One God. The universe really, it only has room for one all-powerful, all-knowing, infinitely free God who is the origin, sustaining force, and final destiny of all that exists. You really can't have more than one of those. The gods that the ancient peoples worshipped were nothing more than pretenders to the title. They are properly called idols. They're not real gods. Now, Christian faith in the one God differs from that of Jewish and Muslim faith also in the one God in a very crucial way. Because Jesus spoke of coming from the Father, prayed to the Father, as an intimate relationship of Father and Son, because he taught that he and the Father would send their Holy Spirit upon Jesus' disciples, the earliest Christians began to understand that within the one God, there were three distinct persons. Later reflection made explicit this initial faith in the Trinity by recognizing that the three persons are equal to one another in sharing the same divine substance, but different from one another in their mutual relations. Have you ever heard of Siamese twins? Imagine Siamese triplets. There's one body, three heads. This is a very rough analogy. It doesn't capture full analogy, but it does say there could be a oneness and a threeness that are joined. So we Christians believe in one God, but understand that there is such richness of personhood in God that it overflows the boundaries of one person. Now, our people have come to believe that truth because of the way God interacts with us. In other words, because of how God acts and speaks in our midst, we get some idea of what God is like in himself. Without coming close to exhausting the mystery, we'll never do that. God's math is still very different from ours, so we're not going to grasp the full mystery, but something we can grasp. And so we understand that the Father initiates our salvation. As St. John's Gospel puts it, as we just heard, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, meaning the one who gave it is the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. So clearly, it is the Father who sends the Son, who is the perfect reflection of the Father's love for us and the Father's very being. Well, this helps us, I think, understand that the Father is the origin of all, even of the other persons of the Trinity. Forget time. There's no time in God. This is from all eternity. The Son is not a creature. but is of the same divine nature as the Father, as is the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised, was sent by the Father and the Son to continue Christ's saving work and apply it to future generations, like folks like you and me. The Holy Spirit promotes truth and love in the church, which gives us an idea of the relationship that the Spirit has to the Father and the Son. If the Spirit promotes truth and love among us, it's because the Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son, a bond based on the truth of the utter goodness and holiness of God. When God then teaches us to love one another, it comes from a God whose inner life is the love among the three persons. God isn't saying something to us from outside his experience. God is saying, this is the best way to live. We know it from experience. Try love yourselves, and you'll see how good it is. Toward us and our salvation and sanctification, the three divine persons act in unison, but each according to his distinct nature. The Father wants us to be holy and to be with him for all eternity. So true to his nature, he originates the plan of our salvation. And then it is the Son who has, true to his nature, as the person who perfectly reflects the Father, as if he were the mirror image and stepped out of the mirror, huh? Who adds a human nature to his divine nature and becomes a true human being. He then makes reparation for our sins on the cross and rises from the dead to show that death can and will be overcome, not just in him, but in us as well. And the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says in our second reading, creates a fellowship or spiritual communion among us in the church that carries on Christ's saving work by uniting us in faith and love and moving us to share our faith in Christ with others, which is a business about which we better get serious here in the state of West Virginia, sharing our faith with others, bringing back, inviting back those who have walked away from us, and reaching out to those we never had. Because, folks, we have good news to share. We've got a Savior from the twin enemies we cannot defeat on our own, sin and death. We've got to take that more seriously, people, to reach out to those we've lost and those we never had. But in this pattern of divine activity on our behalf, we learn something of what our God is like. An important way in which Christ's saving work continues among us is the Eucharist, which is the theme of these last night and all of today in this great basilica. This great sacrament of the Eucharist continues the dynamic of self-giving that is characteristic of the relations of the divine persons within the Godhead and how they act together but in distinct ways for our salvation. The Son of God, who humbled himself to become a man and let us treat him with great cruelty, humbles himself even more to become food for our soul by changing bread and wine into his own body and blood. This too, like the Trinity, is a mystery we can describe but never fully explain. It is not only the words of Jesus, who holding bread said, "This is my body which is for you," and holding a cup of wine said, "This is the cup of my blood," not only those words of Christ that move us to believe this truth, but also the experience of our Christian people, our Catholic people in particular, from the first century on, who have found in the Eucharist the strength to persevere in following the Lord despite the challenges they have faced. As a woman whose husband left her with 5 children to raise and no income at that point told me later, "The Eucharist gave me strength, the strength I needed to care for my children and find a job and not lose heart. I don't know what I would have done without the Lord. He was there for me." The Eucharist starts from the Father's love for us, which is embodied in the human Jesus, who as the Son of God makes himself our spiritual food in the Eucharist through the invocation of the Holy Spirit. Listen for that invocation in the Eucharistic prayer. I hope you see that the Holy Trinity acts as one in all the sacraments, which is most explicit in baptism, which is done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If in the Eucharist the Son of God is most prominent, that accords with the design of salvation which comes from the Father, whose will it was and is that the Son come as close to us as possible, becoming one of us, and then entering us as food. The Eucharistic Revival Project, which began last year, will continue with the parish phase beginning next Sunday, the Feast of Corpus Sanguinis Christi, or Body and Blood of Christ. It is essential for Catholics' life of faith that we understand and acknowledge whom it is we receive in the Eucharist. It is nothing less than Jesus Christ in person, the Son of the loving Father, and whose saving work is carried on now through the Holy Spirit, who leads the Church into all truth and fortifies it by the sacraments. The great mystery of the Trinity, this merciful and gracious God, who is slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity, is not a mystery to be figured out, but one to be entered into. We enter it by our communion with the living God in prayer, in the Word, in the sacraments, and by our fellowship with one another in the Church and our service to those in need. May the Eucharist, sign and reality of God's love for us, give us strength and joy in living our faith and confidence in sharing it with others.